morning, our devotional back to the study from the book of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up from other ways, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus to them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doeth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Are there any announcements before we go to our Sunday school lesson?
But there's no guarantees. But that's all. All right. Our lesson today is entitled, I Am Thine, O Lord. And as previously noted, stated, the titles to these lessons are from songs that we're all familiar with, that we're used to singing. And I Am Thine, O Lord was written in 1875 by Fannie J. Crosby, who was blinded when she was 6 weeks old by a quack doctor who obviously didn't know what he was doing. But at 6 weeks old, she became blind, totally blind. And during her lifetime, she wrote over 8,000 hymns. So I Am Thine, O Lord is just one of them. But some of the others you may, we know is Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, Blessed Assurance, and Near the Cross. So she was a prolific songwriter, and I believe from what I read, she knew what she was talking about. So our lesson today is taken from the 10th chapter of John, the 22nd verse through the 30th verse. Now, this is speaking of Jesus. And some people that have sat down and have questioned him. And so I'll begin reading at the 22nd verse. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. Now, the Feast of Dedication was held in what is today our November and December, and it was to celebrate the cleansing of the temple, which had been desecrated in 165 B.C. by Antiochus Epiphanes, a Syrian king who had invaded Jerusalem and had desecrated the temple in like 170 B.C., so 5 years later, they were able to throw off the yoke of the Syrians, and they cleansed and rededicated the temple. So here we are in Jesus' time, some 180, 90 years later. He's in the temple during this feast, and it says, "And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Now we're going to find out during this reading that Jesus had already done this. He had already told them plainly who he was. And that's going to be part of our lesson. So they wanted him to tell us plainly whether you be the Christ or not, whether you are the Messiah. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." Now, if we go back to the fifth chapter of John and the 36th verse, and you find Jesus has been asked again, and he's telling them, "But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not." Now, let's just kind of review the life of Jesus. After his birth and when he began his ministry, he went throughout Israel, preaching to multitudes of people. And in his preaching, or while he was preaching, or while he was with a multitude of people, he did many miraculous things, and I think probably more than what is even recorded here in the scriptures. Because he was doing this more or less on a daily basis. If you want to think about it, I mean, he really doesn't seem to have taken any time off. So I'm thinking that even though there's a lot of incidences in the scriptures of him healing and doing miracles that he accomplished, that there's many, many, many more things that we could probably never even imagine or think of that he did while he was ministering here on earth. So these people, multitudes of people, had witnessed these things, and yet there are those that are still questioning whether he be the Messiah, the one that they had been expecting. So there's something at work here. There's something that's going on with these people that I believe is the power, or shows the power of Satan. Because even though they have, I'm sure many of them had seen these miracles and things that had performed and witnessed people being saved, that Satan is still all powerful enough to put doubt in people's minds. And that's true then, I think. It is true to this day that Satan can put these powerful blinders over people's eyes that they don't know what to believe. And it even comes down to the blindness of God's own people. Because Satan's power Well, let's face it, he's the second most powerful being here that you can find on earth. And how can we as mere mortals stand up against that power if not through the mercy and grace of God and our strength that he would give us, that we might try to counter this power that Satan has? I can tell you from experience, when the Lord saved my soul, I knew that I had got saved, but Satan put a blinder right up there, and it was amazing the doubt that can come into your mind when you know you're saved. And then when God came along and opened, he didn't save me again. It just took once, and I got plenty. But when God then came along and opened my eyes to what he had done for me, there's no power on this earth that can overcome that. No power. And I felt it. I was a witness to it. So I know that there are people who can doubt God. So these people say, tell us plainly who you are. And he said, I've already told you who I am. And continuing with this in the fifth chapter, he says, for all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. Jesus never failed to explain who he was. Yet we find that they continually doubted the fact. So it says, Jesus answered them, I told ye and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believed not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Now, in the 8th chapter of John, go over there to the 8th chapter. I want to do a little reading here. Beginning about the 42nd verse, it says, Jesus said unto them, he's talking to these people again, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Now, how plainer or how more plain can you get when Jesus has told them who he is? How much more plain can you get? And he says, why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word or hear my message. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. You know, I have to say today, in this day and time, I honestly believe that people are more willing to believe Satan than they are God. And I believe that's widespread over the whole world. And I believe in many cases, it's more fun to believe Satan than it is God. And in some cases, it's a whole lot easier to believe Satan than it is to believe God. It's a hard thing to come under the thumb of God. It's a hard thing for you to give up your pride and kneel down before him and seek him out. It's much easier to walk up and shake a preacher's hand. Much easier. Listen, when I was saved and at McFerrin Avenue Missionary Baptist Church, I've told you all this before. The hardest thing I had to do was get up off of that bench where Sonny's sitting and walk that way, because I was heading back to where my mother sat. There was a friend of mine that was sitting in a folding chair right there beside of where Jimmy sat. And the hardest thing I had to do was get up and go past him, because he was standing in my way. Not literally in my way, you see. He was in my way. And I fought that. And then I thought, I can't do this any longer. And I got up and I went past him, because we were buddies. Now, he happened to be the son of the pastor, but that didn't make any difference to me. He had been saved, and I didn't. You know, pride is there. And that's a hard thing to, even as a 7-year-old boy, that's a hard thing to overcome, is pride. I mean, it's hard now. But as a 7-year-old boy, I had pride. And I had to give it up to go past him. That was a difficult thing to do. I would have much rather have gone up and shaken Brother Ray's hand. I had much rather done that. That had been so much easier to do. But that's not what God wanted. And that's not God's plan. So I had to do what the Spirit was telling me to do. I had to get back to where my mother sat. Now, I don't know why I went back there. See, you know, I don't understand any of this. The mourner's bench was right here. And I was right there. But I had to go back there. Now, why? I don't have any clue. No clue whatsoever. It had been much easier, if I thought about it, to have gone from there to here than it was to go past Randy, who was sitting there. Anyway, I don't understand all that. But that's what God wanted. And you see, it's difficult for people to get past pride. It's really difficult. It's really hard. And you know, it's even hard for God's people. It really is. It really is hard for God's people to throw down our pride and do what God would have us to do. It is difficult to do. The night or the day that I joined the church, my feet were nailed to the floor back there. I'm telling you, they were nailed to the floor. I could not move, and I had a death grip on the back of that seat. So instead of joining the church, I was locked in place back there. Here we go again. That's pride. I knew where I was supposed to be. I knew without a shadow of a doubt that he was telling me to join that church. I knew it, and yet I could not move. Now, what I started to do, I don't even know why I'm telling you all this. What I started to do was head for the restroom. That's what all of us kids did. The church was full of kids, and when the altar call came, man, the restrooms, you couldn't stir them in the restroom because there's so many people back there. Well, when he gave the invitation to join the church, I was heading back there, but I'm telling you, my feet were nailed to the floor. I wasn't going to the altar, but I couldn't go to the restroom either. I couldn't make a move. I was just locked in place. Until my aunt came back. And I saw her walking up the aisle. Now, she always talked to a bunch of children, but I knew where she was coming to. She was coming to me. Again, I had to strip myself of that pride. And I passed her. And none of this I regret. I'm just trying to explain to you the difficulties that we face in serving Christ when Satan is all around us. And so today, people are still in the same shape as these people were in Jesus' time. They did not. They could not. They would not. They didn't want to believe that he was the Son of God. Why? Well, they were expecting a big king. They were expecting somebody to come along and lift them out of the yoke of the Roman Empire, to cast away the Roman soldiers who had settled in around their land. They wanted somebody to be like David was, and that's what they were looking for. So it became difficult and more difficult to believe that Jesus could truly be the Son of God. But he said, you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. He's already said that to him before. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know, I'm not saying that 100% of the time we hear Jesus' voice, our Lord's voice, but if we will open our heart, if we will just humble ourselves, you can hear it. It's there. It's ready to give instructions. Now, you know, I sit sometimes and my heart starts beating. Maybe you think your blood pressure is just going high as a kite. And your heart's just thumping out of your chest. Listen, that's the Lord working on you. He's wanting you to do something. How many times have we sat back and not done whatever that was? I many a time have sat back on him. He said, though my sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. Now listen to these last two verses. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Listen to that. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. In the 17th chapter, I think, of John. Let me see if this is what I'm looking for. That's not what I'm looking for. These two verses pertain to the doctrine of the security of the believer. Now, you remember, I told you, I think it was last week, about the friend of mine that, well, maybe it was last week, I don't remember, about the friend of mine and I who had the conversation where he said it was a height of arrogance for anybody to say that they knew that they were going to go to heaven. Well, he also said, I'm paraphrasing, I'm not using his exact words, but his wording was that if we say that we're saved, then that means that we can do whatever we want to. Now, that's the thinking of the world, a lot of the world, anyway. And I'm not going to get into the different opinions. This is just a conversation that we had. But I'm telling you, security of the saints is real. It is as real as the day I got saved, to know that's all I'm going to need. And sure, I may sin. No, I'm not going to say I may sin. I have sin. I know that. But what the world doesn't understand is the difference between the spiritual man and the carnal man. They don't understand that. Because you believe not because you're not my sheep. They've never met him. They've never felt that spirit. You believe not because you are not my sheep. But he says, my sheep hear my voice. And there's no one able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. No one. And I believe that. I believe that there's no one able to part us from God. I believe it with all my heart. If it were true that we could go live in sin, and I guess we could. I guess we could cast aside and go live in sin. But I'm telling you one thing. I would worry about standing in judgment before God when that time comes. And him look at me and said, what did you do after I saved your soul? And I had to tell him I went out and robbed and killed and drank into a stupor or took drugs. You know, we can do that. But I'm telling you, there's something here in my heart. And I don't know about you guys. Well, yes, I do. I really do know about you guys. There's something here that if I just let it lead, will lead me down a path of righteousness. It will. If you just let it. If you just give into it and just let God lead you, you won't go out and live a life of sin. You'll strive. I fail many times. Many times I fail. I know that. But every day I get up and I pray that I do something that He might be pleased with. It's just there. It's just something that you want to. You want to work for God. You want to do something for Him. But I have failed so many times to do what He would have us do. Now, in the 30th verse, He answers the question that was asked Him in the 24th verse. In the 24th verse, remember, they ask Him, "If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." In the 30th verse, He says, "I and my Father are one." Sounds like He answered it to me. I and my Father am one. But let me go on a little past our lesson. Let me go past our lesson just a little bit. In the next verse, in the 31st verse, "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone Him. Jesus answered them, 'Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?'" Now listen, "The Jews answered Him, saying, 'For good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God.'" Those people just refused absolutely to believe. They didn't want to believe. He wasn't what they were looking for. And do you know, today, 2,000 years later, He's still not what the Jews are looking for. To this day, He's not what they want. And back up just a little bit. And the 13th verse of the 3rd chapter of 1 Corinthians. It said, "Every man's work shall be made manifest." In other words, this is talking about Judgment Day. Manifest means your works will be known. They'll be shown for what they are, good or bad. "For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, by righteous judgment." Righteous judgment now. "And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved." I don't know how much plainer it can be. I really don't. I don't know how much plainer it can be. That once saved, always saved. And our works are going to be judged, good or bad. So we have a responsibility then. We have a responsibility to strive and do what God said, because of what that song says, "I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice." We've all heard that voice. "I am thine, O Lord." Isn't that wonderful to be able to say, "I am thine, O Lord"? That's my lesson. Anyone have anything to say?
Listen. flesh.
Yeah, right.
And that's the man that we live in the flesh. Doesn't want nothing to do with it. He's at enmity with God. He's altogether different and don't want to change.
No. No, he doesn't.
Sorry.
And that's the difficult part. Even we as God's children have a great difficulty with that.
Sure do.
Like I said, it's a lot easier. A lot easier to go the way of the world. I mean, it would be so easy just to fall in that trap. And there's a lot of people that's done that. There's a lot of people that's fallen in that trap. It's gone the way of the world. Because it's an easy path. Anyone else? If not, Brother Quinn, would you dismiss us?
Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this Lord's Day. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to come out to thy house when we come. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Sunday school lesson for the morning college. We thank you, Heavenly Father, once for all for saving our son. Take us in the next service, be with the Lord, be thy will be in the stand. Help him bring that message to us that we need to hear. Lord, there be one here today that might be lost. We pray, Lord, that they would listen. We know that that will happen with their soul. We might not seek to be in this day, but we do believe. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins. Keep us on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.